Welcome back to the afternoon show. This is Jim Shields, and I'm here with
Noah Reibel.
And we have our next guest is Heidi Bach. Heidi's a conservation easement stewardship manager with the Columbia Land Conservancy. And here's a little of Heidi's background. She joined the CLC in June of 2006, and she manages the Conservation Easement Stewardship Program and mapping activities, which includes coordinating the annual easement monitoring program, baseline documentation site visits, and providing education and outreach to landowners. She's most famous for her previous work as a turtle and wetland technician for Hudsonia's Blandings Turtle Project. She's a lifelong resident of Columbia County, and Heidi currently lives in Copake. She earned a bachelor's degree in environmental biology from Marist College and a master's degree in conservation biology from Antioch, New England. And Heidi, it says here on your bio that your dream in life was to find a job where you could be paid to play outside, and it sounds like you found it.
I sure have. I'm excited. I'm one of the few people, I think, that can say they get paid to play outside. And I love my job, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great, and it couldn't be a more perfect day for you to come. We are getting our first real dose of springtime weather, and that is going to lead us into the programs. It will be perfect for the programs you guys are talking about, which is a partnership between the CLC and Cornell University in conjunction with the Department of Environmental Conservation's Hudson River Estuary Program. And they're looking to train citizen scientists to collect data on woodland pool species to assist in a research project. And we'll tell you more about how you can get involved with that. But Heidi, could you explain what a woodland pool is, what a woodland pool species is a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. So this is part of a series of events that we're having this spring that we wanted to reach out to people and get them involved and interested in woodland pools. Woodland pools are a specific type of wetland. They are a small temporary wetland, and as the name implies, they're often found in woodlands. They're sometimes referred to as vernal pools, and the distinction here is the woodland part of it. And they're often isolated, and they're a shallow depression that typically fills during the spring from the thaw, and they dry up by late summer, mid to late summer. So a lot of people don't realize that they have these types of wetlands on their property because they don't see them. And they're very important because they're critical breeding habitat for amphibians, and they also play a really important role in the food web in the forest. But specifically, the reason that they're really important for these amphibians, frogs and salamanders, is that they don't have fish. They typically don't have an inlet or an outlet, and so fish can't survive because of the drying, you know, the fact that they dry out. So the pool is basically a nursery for these amphibian and the eggs and the larva. And they don't have that predation from the fish. So the I don't remember who stated this, but they're often referred to as the coral reef of the northeastern forest because the amount of biodiversity that occurs in a woodland pool is huge. Because the spring thaw, you know, creates this pool that the amphibians and frogs and salamanders go and lay their eggs. There's a certain type of crustacean called the fairy shrimp, which needs the vernal pools to exist. They lay eggs in the pool, in the leaf litter that's on the bottom of the pool. And in order for the eggs to hatch, the pool has to dry out completely and then refill. And then once it refills, the fairy shrimp hatch. So that it's really important, especially for them. Wood frogs are another species that require woodland pools. They typically live in the uplands around the pools and then migrate to the pool once it's breeding season, which today I was out and it was deafening, the sound in this one woodland pool. They have a distinct call. It sounds like a quacking duck. And when they get going, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Are these the peeping frogs?
No, those are peepers.
Yeah.
And they're also very active right now.
Yeah.
And they too come into vernal pools or woodland pools. They also breed in other types of wetlands. They don't necessarily need the woodland pools, but they're really small like one of the smallest frogs. And then, like I said, they're also woodland pools are also really important for the food chain. So once all of these critters get into the pools, there's a food source for things like other salamanders. Adult salamanders can eat the larvae and the insects that are attracted to the pools, as well as turtles and wading birds, wood ducks, that kind of thing. And then owls too also are attracted to these types of woodland pools for the amphibians that are moving around near them.
Yeah. So, what's the state of the woodland pool these days? I mean, are we finding them threatened by things, or are they in?
They are, because in New York State, woodland pools are not protected under the Wetland Conservation Act. Wetlands have to be greater than 12.4 acres in order to be protected, unless they have significant value that the DEC has decided to regulate them. And federally, they're also not regulated. So that's a huge challenge, is that these are tiny wetlands, usually less than a half acre, and they're unprotected. Mm. And so they're threatened by habitat fragmentation, being filled because people don't know what they are. And
right, someone gets tired of that wet spot on their lawn all these years and they decide to fill it in.
To fill it in, right. You know, and tree cutting, that kind of thing. And so part of the idea of this program, this Woodland Pool series, is to educate people about their importance, not only for breeding habitat, but also just the bigger landscape picture. And that, while the woodland pool is so important to these species, the upland around it is also very important. There's a range that, you know, up to some of these species can migrate away from the pools when they're as adults, half a mile away. And so it's a big area that's, potentially impacted if there's habitat fragmentation.
So Heidi, I want to ask you a little bit about conservation easement stewardship.
Sure.
But before that, I thought we'd talk about this event on the 14th.
Sure.
For people who want to, for listeners who are interested, what will you be, where will you guys go, and what will you be training some of these citizens to, what sorts of data can they collect that can help you?
Sure. So citizen science, for people that might not be familiar with the term, it's becoming more popular now. It's a way for people to get involved with research studies that are going on throughout the region and collect data that is then used for scientific studies. Mm-hmm. So this particular one is with the DEC and the Hudson River Estuary Program. It's part of their biodiversity monitoring. And they've gone out to this is at Alan DeVoe Bird Club up in Old Chatham. And there's some interesting wetlands there, obviously bird habitat since it's a bird sanctuary. And they've been studying the amphibians that are using the pools up there. And on April 14th, we're going to be showing the data that they're collecting, like the process, which includes they put out cover boards. So they'll put out pieces of wood and go and check those, because amphibians tend to hide under things, the salamanders anyway. And so they look for those so that they can count if there's salamanders, and then collecting and looking at egg masses, identifying what types of egg masses are in the pools. And so the two scientists that are coming work for Cornell, and they will be going through the process of what somebody who wants to be trained to become a woodland pool monitor can do. And so they'll go through the whole process of what one would do if you have a woodland pool on your property and you want to monitor it to see what species are there. And then you submit that data to them, and they've compiled data throughout the Hudson Valley. And they're trying to identify the health and status of woodland pools throughout the valley.
And okay.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's on April 14th. That's
that
next
Sunday. Next Sunday. Yep, at 12:30, I think.
12:30 p.m.
Yes.
The Alan DeVoe Bird Club in Chatham.
Yes. Yeah, and all the information is on our website.
And the website is clctrust.org /woodland.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's a number of other citizen science programs that the DEC also takes part in. One is on the amphibian theme, the amphibian migration. When the weather gets warm in the spring and we have wet weather, that's when amphibians move. And so part of their program is an amphibian migration road crossing. So if there's an area that you know that has a lot of, you know, like if you're driving down the road in the spring and you see a lot of frogs hopping around, it's likely that they're moving from the woods to a woodland pool to lay their eggs, to breed and lay their eggs. And so part of this program is to send out little brigade of people to help save salamanders and frogs. And so that's another program that on their website, on the DEC's website, you can take part in helping them get across the road so that they can lay their eggs and survive another year.
Well, that's great.
For listeners who might not be familiar with the term, and to a certain extent, this includes me, I'm familiar with the term, but can you explain what a conservation easement is?
I sure can. Okay. So I guess for those who don't know, the Columbia Land Conservancy is we're a nonprofit land trust, and we work throughout Columbia County. And one of our tools for conserving the wildlife and forest and farmland of Columbia County is conservation easements. And they are a voluntary agreement between a landowner and the land trust. And it permanently limits the amount of development on a piece of property. They are, they're forever. So it's a legal agreement that we work out the terms with the landowner.
And it's for in perpetuity?
In perpetuity.
Hmm.
It's forever.
Wow.
It's a long time.
And the advantage for the landowner?
There's a tax benefit for some, right.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the knowledge that it's protected,
right,
you know,
right,
for future generations. And so each easement is written specifically for each property. Mm-hmm. So we go out and we look at what the conservation values are of a property, and we limit impact to those areas. So one of my jobs is mapping out the properties using a computer mapping software. We map out the areas that are sensitive habitats, deep slopes, wetlands, those kinds of things. And those areas are the most restricted typically. And, you know, little to no development are allowed in those. People can still build houses and barns and tennis courts and pools and everything, but we tend to, you know, put that in an area that's already has structures or something like that, you know, so it's already impacted areas. And then the rest, you know, is pretty minimal impact. So things like woodland pools are protected a lot of the time with the help of conservation easements, because we would go out, we would see that they're there or that there's signs of them. Like if we go out in the summer, we can still see that there's signs of a woodland pool, even if you don't see the water. So, mm-hmm. So one of my jobs additionally is to go out and ensure that the terms of the conservation easement are being upheld. And that's the part of my job where I get to hike and get paid for it. currently, we have about nearly 23,000 acres protected in the county.
Huh.
It's over 5% of the county is privately protected.
Could you guesstimate on how many conservation easements there are in Columbia County? They're not all managed by CLC.
That's correct.
How many?
We have 164.
Okay, throughout Columbia County.
Yes, yeah, we work completely within Columbia County.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of other organizations that work in parts of Columbia County, but we're the only organization that works.
And the easements effectively limit the sorts of development that can happen within a certain area around the pool or the place where an easement is.
Well, the easement would cover the entire property.
Oh, yeah.
And then we break it out basically into zones, different zones. So we have the area that, you know, can have development. And then we have areas where it's little to no development, but typically the entire property is restricted with the conservation easement. It's just the level of restriction.
I was mentioning to you this interesting story that a friend of mine was telling me about, where the Harlem Valley Rail Trail, which has been big news in Columbia County, which was trying to tie the train station in Wassaic through a series of rail trails, bikeable rail trails, all the way up, I think, to Copaig,
mm-hmm.
right? And there was a stretch of it that maybe it was around Mellonville, that where they found the bog turtle inhabited this particular wetland.
It was probably in Millerton.
Millerton,
yeah.
That's right. And so it's taken a really long time for two parties who are ecological protection, bikers and the Columbia Land Conservancy, to work out how this bike path is going to pass through this area without affecting the bog turtle habitat. Are you aware of, has there been any development?
I personally don't know about,
the bog turtle controversy.
I mean, I know about, No, I don't.
It's been raging years. Bog turtle controversy.
I know about bog turtles, and they do have a very specific habitat that they need, and they are a threatened species in New York State. So it is very important, their habitat, but I don't know about that specific.
Do they live in woodland pools? They live in wetlands,
they,
I bet.
They live in wet meadows and a very specific type of wetland, but not woodland pools.
Okay.
Sorry. I know you wanted me to clear up that controversy. But.
So where will you guys be going on the 14th? Like, when people want to meet you, where should they be, at what time, and where will you be going?
Well, we will be meeting at the Powell Wildlife Sanctuary, which is owned by the Allen DeVoe Bird Club, up in Old Chatham. It's on Pit Hole Road at 12:30. And we will, there's a pavilion there that we'll meet at to talk about the basics of the monitoring program and sort of what we're going to be doing. And then we'll take a short walk to a woodland pool that they've actually been studying for the past 2 years. So this will be their third year collecting data there.
So be prepared for a little bit of a walk. And
It's a short walk, but be prepared that you might get your feet wet.
Right.
Because that's our hope, is that, you know, we'll get to see some really cool things, and hopefully this warm weather will keep the frogs and salamanders moving.
Figuratively and literally.
Yes.
Getting your feet
we
wet.
We want people to get their feet wet.
And is this specific study that you guys are dealing with, is this the study being done in conjunction with the DEC, or is this a study with Cornell Cooperative?
It's a combination. Dr. Susan Beiler works for Cornell, and she is their biodiversity monitoring program director. And so I'm not sure how it all works, but they all sort of work together with the estuary program and Cornell to do these studies. And I think Cornell collects the data that's submitted and then does analysis on it. And so those kinds of, so the stuff does matter, like all the information that gets sent to them. There's another program that's, a combination of Cornell Lab of Ornithology and Audubon, slightly different topic, but similar, citizen science, that we've participated in, CLC has participated in the past 2 years, which is the Great Backyard Bird Count. And it's another situation where you get out, you collect data, you send it in, and they use it to look at changes in migration patterns, you know, if birds are being seen. It's the same. It's a weekend in February, usually the second weekend in February every year. And so they're using it to track, you know, climate change on migration patterns, and if birds are being seen in different areas. And so that's another instance of citizen science projects that people can get involved in.
Well, I think it's a really cool opportunity not only to learn about this unique habitat and ecology in our area, but also about how, you know, scientific studies are formulated and how data and information is gathered.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because it winds up having an impact on how the land around here can be used.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, and the more data that they have, the better decisions and choices can be made about land use planning. And another one of the programs in this series is specifically for municipalities. It's actually the last one that's in May, and it's conservation planning for woodland pool wildlife. And it's targeted to municipal board members and anybody who's really interested in learning more about woodland pools and their importance within the land use planning world. And so that'll have an indoor component and then an outdoor component also to see what it really looks like and how it can, you know, how it can be impacted in the planning decisions.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Friday Afternoon Show on 90.7 FM. This is hands-on community radio for Hudson, Acre, and Catskill. And we've been talking to Heidi Bach, who is a conservation easement stewardship manager with the Columbia Land Conservancy. And she's been talking about an event on the 14th. If you want to learn more about this event and other CLC events, I'm guessing you would go to the website,
yes,
right?
Yes, our website, cltrust.org, and the events tab is right there, and we've listed all of these. There's a special tab for the Woodland Pool series, and then all of our other events that we've got coming up throughout the spring.
Okay, Heidi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yep.